Thank you, Ray, and good morning to everyone. Happy Feast of Trumpets. Really is nice to be here. I was able to keep the last day of unleavened bread with many of you people. And some of you people perhaps don't know me, but my wife and I and my daughter, we live down in Redline, Pennsylvania, not too far from here. And we're just so really happy to be here with you people today. The trumpet. Well, when we think of the Feast of Trumpets, I know traditionally speaking in God's church, we have often thought of the good news, and that's great. We always want to think of good news. The good news of when Jesus Christ, picturing Jesus Christ's return, the resurrection of the saints to be born again at his return, and to meet Christ in the air. But if you'll turn with me to Numbers chapter 29 and verse 1, we will see that a trumpet can be used for other means besides what we picture in the future, what we look forward to. Chapter 29 and verse 1. And in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. This is why we are here today, to keep that command. You shall do no customary work. For you it is a day of blowing the trumpets. Now let me ask you a question. If the only meaning of the Feast of Trumpets was what we traditionally have looked forward to, and rightfully so, the return of Jesus Christ at the sound of the last trumpet, then why would it be called the Feast of Trumpets? Well, obviously, it's encompassing more than just what it is that we have traditionally looked forward to on this day. And that's one thing that I want to cover this morning. The blowing of the trumpets. Why does it say trumpets? Why not just one trump? Well, we're going to cover that. We're going to go over just what the trumpet has been used in the Old Testament Israel, what it was used for, and what it will yet be used for in the future. This morning we want to cover that. So if you would please, let's turn now to, we won't turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 to 52. You can read that later. Or you might, someone else might speak about that later today also. But of course, that refers to the last trump, the return of Jesus Christ, who will come at the last trump. But let's go to Numbers chapter 10, just turn back a few pages. And let's begin with verse 2, and let's look at some of the various uses of the trumpet. Make two silver trumpets for yourself. Eternal is talking to Moses here. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for purpose number one, calling the assembly, and then purpose number two, for directing the movement of the camps. So we see here that first of all, the trumpet was used to call out, to sound out, as a signal to the assembly that there was going to be a meeting. They needed to realize that. But we also see a second use of the trumpet here to direct the movement of the camp. When it was time for the camp to pick up, go to a different location, the trumpet would sound, and according to the trumpet blast, the various camps would move to wherever they were supposed to move. So again, it's like a calling out, it's a sound, it's an alarm to let the people know that it's time to do something. Perhaps have a meeting, or perhaps move to a different location. So there's two uses of the trumpet. Let's continue on. Verse 3, when they blow both of them, all the assembly shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So two trumpets, two silver trumpets, both were blown. That was a signal, of course, that they were to meet at a certain place. But if they blow only one, then the leaders, or the heads of the divisions of Israel, they shall gather to you. So one trumpet meant just the heads, the leaders of Israel, and of course two trumpets meant the whole assembly. So there's two uses of the trumpet that we can familiarize ourselves with. Another use, if we skip on down to verse 9, and perhaps maybe I'll spend more time concentrating on this use this morning than the various other uses. Verse 9, when you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you sound an alarm. So a trumpet is like an alarm. Sound a warning. Let the people know. Sort of reminds you of like when there's a fire. We don't hear it so much anymore with cell phones and things like that, but you can hear in the background, you can hear the siren go off to let everybody know in the area there's a fire. And those that are volunteer firemen, they would stop doing whatever they're doing. I'm a school teacher. I have students that, and they've got permission as soon as that goes off, or as soon as their beeper goes off nowadays, they're out the door. They get that alarm. They get that sound. They know they have to move. This is what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with a sound of war. The enemy is coming. So you sound that alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the eternal your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. So notice the first thing they would do was to sound the alarm with these two trumpets. And God would remember them. God would see that they're doing what he wanted them to do, and he promised that they would be saved from the enemies. So the time to go to war, a third reason why we use trumpets. Now, of course, the fourth reason comes up in verse 10. Also in the day of your gladness. This is called the Feast of Trumpets, the Holy Day, first day of the seventh month. This is a time of joy. On all of God's holy days, we should be joyful and excited because of the plan of salvation that God has for mankind and what each day pictures. So this is a day of gladness in your appointed feast and at the beginning of your months. Now it's interesting, we read here at the beginning of your months, the only holy day that starts on the first day of a month is this one. So obviously they were blowing the trumpets for more than just the Feast of Trumpets. It says here, the appointed feast, and then also at the beginning of the months. So at the beginning of every month, they would blow the trumpet. You shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before God. So we see the trumpet is a sound of a memorial, a sound of gladness, a sound of good tidings. And as I was beginning this message, I was telling you about the trumpet that we all love, we look forward to. That last trump at the return of Jesus Christ, when the dead shall rise first, and we which are alive and remaining shall rise up afterwards to meet Jesus in the air. We look forward to that, but that too is a trumpet that will sound. Well, what I said earlier, I wanted to concentrate on a use of the trumpet that will be a picture of what is yet to happen in the future. And of course, I've indicated the one event that we're all looking forward to. But what about the other use of the trumpet? And I said I was going to emphasize the aspect of using the trumpet as a means of war. Well, if you would please, turn with me back into the book of Revelation. And we'll look at what is prophesied dealing with the trumpet. And of course, many of us are familiar with this. Many of us accepted the truth after we first learned about prophecy. I guess we've said before that, well, God got our attention by getting us to worry about our own skin. And then we wanted to turn to him. So he knows how to get each and every one of our attentions. Doesn't always do it, of course, the same way with everybody, but I know it worked for me. All right, Revelation chapter 6 and verse 17. I wanted to go to the time setting before we talk about the trumpets here. Of course, the background is, this is after the sixth seal. We're familiar with the six seals and how Jesus Christ is the only one that could reveal and open up these seals and reveal what is to happen. So in verse 17, it says, "For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" This is the day of God's wrath. This is the day of his anger. So you think about, as we're going to be reading about trumpets blowing, which type of trumpet would apply here? Would it be the one which would call the assembly of a people? Would it be the one which would call the movement of a camp? The people would move. Would it be the one which would call of war? Or serious events, calamities? Opportunity for God to take vengeance on mankind? Or would it be the last one we heard about, a memorial, gladness, good news? Well, as we think about this, and we think about the context of it as a day of God's wrath, certainly I don't think we could argue against that it would be the one for war. Now, you might be able to come up with good reasons why you could use assembly, or you could use the movement of the camp. I don't think you can come up with a very good reason for gladness and joy since it's a day of wrath. But What happens a lot of times when anyone's angry, whether it be God or humans? Unfortunately, in the case of humans, it leads to unnecessary wars a lot because we are angry and we don't control our anger and it gets out of hand. But in this case, it's God's wrath, and God is ready to sound an alarm about problems for mankind. And as we go through this message, we're going to see why it is indeed called the Feast of Trumpets, and not just the Feast of the Trumpet we're all looking forward to. So let's continue on. Skip over into Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. And when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. Of course, the seventh seal is being opened, Jesus Christ being the one, the Lion of Judah, the tribe of Judah. He being the one that has the right to open that. So he opens it in verse 2, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God. And to them were given seven trumpets, each angel having its own trumpet. Each angel is going to be calling an alarm of some kind using the trumpet. Now, of course, we've often looked at that as being figurative. It's not that when this particular aspect of prophecy will be fulfilled that we're going to hear any trumpets blowing in the air. But then again, maybe somewhere out in the heavens, these trumpets are really literally blowing and sounding something that is about to happen. And that's what we're going to read and review right now. What do each one of these trumpet blasts mean? Of course, we've already talked about the last one. We've already indicated that that was the one that we're all excited about. But we're going to have to go through the first six first, of course, to get to the last one. So let's look at each trumpet and see what happens. So skip on down to verse 7, verse 6. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Each angel is going to sound a trumpet in the order in which they've been given that responsibility. Verse 7. So the first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Now let's think about what happens after this trumpet blows, after it makes its sound. Well, first of all, remember the reasons why we blow the trumpet. And think about that. Are we calling an assembly here? Are we moving a camp? Or does it appear more like this is a sign of war, the day of God's wrath? Well, as we look at the results, certainly we would hope that when we move camp, we wouldn't get these kind of results. And certainly we would hope that when we would call a meeting, that one third of the trees wouldn't be burned up. So I implore you to think that this certainly is a trumpet of war, a time of war, time of God's wrath, God at war with mankind because they are not obeying his laws and commandments and because he is preparing the earth for the return of Jesus Christ so that God's government can abound on this earth. Hail and fire follow, mingled with blood. Now you can take your imagination, I've often done this, and kind of guess, not that we really know for sure, but it's always interesting to do it, what this might be. And also, later on it talks about how the man's heart is hardened, because man will come up with reasons as to why these things happen. Certainly man's not going to think God's going to do this to them. They're not going to believe it. How about the two witnesses? They'll probably be preaching that these things are going on as they're going on. Well, they don't want to hear what those guys say. They want to find somebody to blame. God's not that way. Jesus Christ is a lamb. Jesus Christ is talking about love, mercy, and kindness. They're not going to want to see that this could actually be coming from God. But of course, nothing happens unless God reveals these things to his true servants, the prophets, first. And God's true people will know and understand, and indeed this is coming from God. We will know it when we see it happening. But the hail and fire that followed mingled with blood, perhaps that could be meteorites or something that looks like meteorites, something falling out of the sky. And perhaps scientists will say, well, it was about time and we knew it was going to happen one day. It wasn't a question of if, but more of a question of when. So they will scientifically try to argue why this has nothing to do with anything that God's going to do. And they'll try to reason around it. But that doesn't matter, because still it's going to do great damage. Hurricanes have been doing great damage in our own country recently. It's sad to say, in one sense of the word, that's going to be a picnic compared to what will happen when this first trumpet sounds. Because we see a third of the trees are burned up. Fruit trees, vegetation, herbs that we can use to sustain ourselves will be burned up. And it says all of the green grass will be burned up. All that will be gone. So that first trumpet doesn't sound good news, but it certainly ties in with the whole concept of the Feast of Trumpets. Not trying to set any time frame when exactly this will happen, but in the whole category of what this day pictures, this is part of it. Verse 8, then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood. We've already lost a third of the trees. All the green grass has already been burned up. And now a third of the sea becomes blood. A third of the sea becomes useless. And whatever vegetation or life that is in there that we might be using, that also becomes useless. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, as I was saying. And a third of the ships were destroyed. So this great mountain of fire, whatever it might be, lands in the ocean or a big sea somewhere, so that a third of whatever is out there in the seas is destroyed. What could that be? Well, possibly that might be a meteor, a big ball. It would be like a meteor coming out of the sky. What would science say it is? Because they're going to try to deny God again. Well, we've been waiting for this to happen. Because as we go on and read through the scriptures, we know that man's heart is only hardened. This isn't what really causes him to repent. But he'll see this happening and he'll come up with some kind of a scientific fact. After all, we in this day and age, our technology is the greatest it's ever been. We can understand through the laws of physics what in the world is happening here. And this doesn't necessarily mean God did anything. Men will be able, because of their knowledge and so-called understanding, to come up with reasons why this isn't what it is. But I'm telling you today, this is a trumpet that sounds, a trumpet of war. God's wrath of man, as it says here in the scriptures. This is not just something that just happened because it was bound to happen eventually anyway. So let's read on. The second angel has already sounded. Now we're ready for the third angel. And the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on the third of the rivers and on the springs of the water. Well, we haven't gotten to the river supply yet. Now it's time to go for the river supply. As things happen systematically, little by little, or lot by lot, actually, because it ends up being one-third each time, the trees are destroyed. The grass is destroyed. The ocean, what valuable resources we have out of the oceans and the seas are destroyed. Now it's the rivers. It's a systematic process, which if science would take the time to think about it, they can see that this isn't happenstance, like their favorite belief on how we all came here, evolution. They can see there's an organization here, but of course their hearts will be hardened and they won't be able to see it. But God's people will be able to see these things when they happen. And the name of the star is Wormwood. And a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. In New Orleans, after Hurricane Katrina, they were concerned that people were in those waters, which were now contaminated. Because of the filth that was in the city, along with the filth that was in the lake, people were walking through the water, and only time will yet tell whether or not some disease or plague may be in the process of starting from that. But here we read that, in this case, men will die from pestilence, from water which became bitter, from drinking that water in the rivers, which no longer is any good, because of this wormwood, this star. What will science say about that? Well, since it's a fiery, burning star that falls out of the heaven and has a tail, perhaps they will think it's a comet. They're not thinking a little strange. They got hit by meteorites, meteors, and comets all at once. But nevertheless, it wasn't a question in our mind of if it will happen, but when it will happen. So they're not going to necessarily attribute this to God. But God is saying, through the sounding of the trumpet, he's telling his people that, yes, he is behind this. This is the day of his wrath. And as we one day see these things happen, we will know that we've been foretold. Verse 12. Then the fourth angel sounded. All right, now as a result of all of these fiery things coming out of the sky, whether they be meteorites, meteors, comets, or some other explanation, as a result of all these poisonous gases and fires that come out of the sky, it only makes sense that when the fourth angel sounds, this is almost like a consequence of what has to be based upon the first three. A third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. And again, here we are with that third. There's a number behind that. God is trying to emphasize to people why he continues to use third. So a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. So darkness prevails. Even on a bright, sunny day, it would become like a cloudy day, where you wouldn't be able to see all the sunshine and all its radiance. On a nice, starry, moonlit night, it doesn't matter. All of these gases and all of these poisons that are in the air and all of this smog and pollution would prevent people from being able to see that. So that it does not shine like it normally does. And likewise, on a night that's not cloudy, it doesn't matter. It will be cloudy. So we see that, once again, God is trying to get man's attention. But as I'm explaining now, even more so, they'll explain it all away. Think about the plagues of Egypt and how Pharaoh always found a way to explain, other than God was trying to get his attention, why these things were happening. Well, mankind will not be any different, unfortunately. But again, the trumpets will sound because we've only gone to number four. Verse 13, and I looked and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. So there's three more trumpets that have to be sounded, and it doesn't look good according to the angel for mankind. Because again, mankind's attention is constantly being gotten, but he's constantly rationalizing why all these things are happening. So he's not coming to repentance yet. He's got it all figured out. He's not seeing what God is trying to show us all. Chapter 9, verse 1. Then the fifth angel sounded. Blow the trumpet again. And I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. And to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Now as we read through this, remember a lot of this is symbolic. But then again, a lot of it is straightforward. And only time will help us to be able to see what actually is straightforward. Whether or not we will see a star or mankind will see a star falling from heaven to the earth remains to be seen. But it will happen. Verse 2, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. Now think about where mankind is at this point in time. It's pretty well lost a lot of natural resources. Pretty well, people are going to be turning against one another, perhaps blaming each other for why these things are happening, just like President Bush got blamed for the hurricane, as if he had anything to do with it. And of course, that's what we want to do as humans, isn't it? We want to put the blame on somebody else. We want to get stirred up. So out of this smoke arose out of the pit like a smoke of great furnace. The sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. What kind of smoky activity is coming up out of this pit? Verse 3. And out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given the power as the scorpions of the earth have power, power to sting. So, of course, we've often imagined that these would be like warlike military aircraft coming out of this pit, perhaps helicopters with the ability to fire smart bombs or shoot out lasers. Modern technology, as it gets more and more modern, we can see more and more what kind of things might be coming out of this pit. But this is one of the plagues for mankind. First, it was all natural disasters. Now we're going to turn towards humans being upset with one another, blaming one another, and some group of humans, the beast power, wanting to take control of mankind and the earth through warlike means. So obviously, beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you ever doubted before, this is the sound of a trumpet, which means war. As they come out, verse 4, they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing, that's already been harmed, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Those that are not protected, those that aren't being given God's Spirit, or those who have not been set aside for protection by God. These are the men that can be harmed. So all of mankind continues to have worse problems than what they already had. Verse 5, and they were not given authority to kill them. That would be too easy. Someone dies right away, they're not going to suffer. It's just in an instant they're gone. It sounds gruesome and terrible to all of us that are still alive, but I can imagine that the person that happens to, they may never know what hit them. They were not given the authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. 5 months of tormenting. 5 months of torture. They thought they had it bad before. They really got it bad now. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Now, I've never been stung by a scorpion. I think I've talked to a person or two that has. But I can understand you really suffer a lot. And when you think about it, I know they're poisonous and they can kill. But usually that's not what happens. They just make you suffer an awful lot. So that's why this is likened to that. Verse 6, in those days men will seek death and will not find it. They're going to want to die. They're going to want that quick way out. Enough's enough. Look at all the vegetation that was burned up. Look at all the waters that are useless. Look at all the things that already happened. Can't get a good sunshiny day anymore. Now these guys come along and they're out to destroy us. They will desire to die and death will flee from them. Verse 7, and the shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. Now that's war, right? And on their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men, because there are men inside of the helicopters or whatever aircraft it might be that are flying these machines. Of course, some of them nowadays, as we know, don't have to have anybody in them. But according to the scriptures here, that's what they're talking about in this case. Verse 8, they had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. We can go on and read on there, if time permitted. But certainly we can see that this is a power coming up out of a pit, a warlike power that is out to keep mankind in submission, that is out to take charge of what's going on. And of course, we've always had wars, so science and the scoffers can say, this didn't come from God. What's the big deal? Had many wars. So we read on. Verse 12. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Now, verse 13, the sixth angel sounds his trumpet. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. Four angels have been prepared for this event, for the hour, the day of the month, day and the month and the year. Now they were to be released to kill a third of mankind. Third of mankind that's left. Of course, it doesn't indicate in the previous trumpet blowing that men died, except for that they wished to seek to find death. Well, they're getting their wish, unfortunately, on this one. Because now it's time for a third of mankind to be killed. So this warlike threat, which came out of the bottomless pit, is actually going to now go to war. And these four angels, whomever they might be, are going to be behind it. Verse 16, now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million, and I heard the number of them. And it goes on and talks about, down into verse 18, skipping down, by these three plagues, a third of mankind were killed. By the fire, and the smoke, and the brimstone which came out of their mouth. War. Limited nuclear war. Whatever it takes to kill one third of mankind. Not the kind of war that's going to destroy the earth several times over. Not the kind of bombing of that kind. But the kind of bombing that's meant to get everybody else's attention. You see, what do humans do when things aren't going right? They get mad at one another. Somebody has to flex his muscles and say, I'm going to take charge of the whole thing. Of course, otherwise, elsewhere in the scriptures, we know it's the beast power. And these angels are going to be behind them having this power. Verse 19, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they do harm. Verse 20, this is why I've been making these statements that I've already made. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent. We've always had these things. Don't tell me this is coming from God or some spirit being up there in the air or somewhere or out there in the universe or somebody that did this intelligent design and created all this. Don't tell me all that. They did not repent of the work of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk, worshiping the things of their hands, worshiping their creations, looking at what they've done and patting themselves on the back. Hey, we've done all this. Verse 21, and they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. They did not repent of sin. They did not repent of breaking God's commandments. After six trumpet plagues, after all this devastation on the earth, that's some kind of hard-heartedness. I think for those of us that God is working with, it's hard for us to understand that people just can't see it after all of this. Scriptures say it's going to take more than that. Well, we talked about six of the trumpets, and the seventh trumpet, time will not permit me to go too heavily into that, but I wasn't really going to concentrate on that one anyway. There will be the seven last plagues. There will be more attempts for God to try to get man's attention. And then, of course, at the end of the seventh trumpet, let me see if I put that in here. Yeah, let's go to Revelation 10, chapter 7. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. So as the sounding of the seventh trumpet, or after it is sounded, as we know, at the sound of the last trump, when we read 1 Corinthians 15, as we put it all together, that mystery will be revealed. And that mystery is God reproducing after his own kind, because the birth of the resurrected saints will occur. And they will meet Jesus Christ in the air. Now, I've given you all the bad news. I've told you about the war. I've told you about things that are going to have to happen, unfortunately. We wish they wouldn't before Jesus Christ returns, about the day of God's wrath, and how indeed every time something happened, a trumpet was blown. But I want to end this message on a more positive note. Because even though man was without excuse, he should have been able to listen to God. He should have been able to gotten man's attention. But because of the hardness of his heart, because he refused to obey the commandments, we can see it didn't work up to that point in time. But we can see that there is a hope. There is a joy. So let's go on and read chapter 11 and verse 15. Now, this is the good news that we're all looking forward to. I don't want to end this message with doom and gloom. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. I think about that phrase that's in the Hallelujah chorus, where you hear that, where they're all singing that out. It's so exciting to hear it. That's what the scriptures say right here. That's the good news. That's the mystery of God. That's what God is preparing this earth for. That's why these first six trumpets have to sound. And though he didn't get man's attention at the time, when it's all culminated, those that are alive are going to realize when they look back, well, we were kind of dumb and stupid. We should have seen what was going on. It will happen. And then Jesus Christ will come down, and he will set up the kingdom of God here on earth, and he will use the resurrected saints as kings and priests. So let's remember, when we think about this day, that it's not the feast of trumpet, but it's the feast of trumpets. And there are many uses for these trumpets, calling out of people to be together in an assembly, the movement of camp, sound an alarm, sound of war, and a sound of gladness and good joy. And I would liken the seventh trumpet, even though there are still some plagues associated with it, as that sound of joy, that sound of gladness, that sound of putting mankind out of his misery by bringing Jesus Christ here on earth and setting up the wonderful world tomorrow. That's what I hope you will be concentrating on and thinking about as we go through this fall holy day season. So we can see that this day does picture some doom and gloom, but ultimately, and this is why we rejoice, it pictures that good news of the world tomorrow. And yes, bad news for mankind does come, but only for before the good news for all who survive.